99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. Labrish will be back next week at 3 a.m. following the work, at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers, which is at midnight. And stay tuned for Back of the Book right here. Oh, did I say it's 5 a.m.? Back of the Book right here, right now.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I say it's 5 a.m. and you're listening to All Anti-Gay Bigotry Is Not New, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on the program, and you can find out a little bit more about this stuff by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of the screen that will say at the top, latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that, and you'll get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 115th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program is not as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the top story in several different universes right now is on Twitter. We are down to 121 followers. It keeps dropping. I'm actually hoping that people are just leaving Twitter now that Leon Scum has taken it over. Yeah, he put Trump back on this past week, along with some other crumbums. I voted against that. They had a thing. I just happened to see something. Somebody said, "Hey, Leon Scum, or Elon Musk, however you want to pronounce his name, is having a poll to should he put Trump back on." And so I said, oh, so I made my way toward that. Yeah, you know, I don't follow Leon Scum, so I had to find a way to make my way toward it and vote. I think it got counted. I'm not sure. I don't know if he counted people who don't follow him, but I voted. It looked like it said there was a no vote there for me, so that's what I did. And, of course, he was going to bring him in anyway. So, yeah. There's all of that, and people are bailing on Twitter. So I'm hoping that what's happening is our somewhat precipitous drop from a high of more than this has managed to, well, the drop is due to Leon Scum and not due to us. So there we are. Boy, oh boy, things just fall apart when people like him get a hold of them. And we have some programming notes. Yeah, we suddenly got preempted 2 weeks ago. And boing, all of a sudden, Friday afternoon, we got officially informed, which means right before we would have started recording. And last week, we're not sure if the program actually went out over the air. We do know that the stream crashed, and that made a mess of the archive. Seems like nobody at BAI could tell us if we were actually heard over the air last Saturday morning. And by that, I mean actually heard on a radio. Anyway, the WBAI webmaster made an archive of the file we'd sent in for the last program. So if you missed it and want to hear it, it's on the WBAI archive now. And you can get to the archive by going to WBAI.org and scrolling down the page and clicking on Listen to Our Archives on Demand. Click on that and you get to the archives. Or you can just go to last week's program on glib.com and there's a link there that goes right to the archive. Of course, if you only go to this week's program, you'll just get a link to this week's archive, assuming we have one. But since we pre-record these programs, we can always make an archive. But, yeah, there's an archive up on WBAI.org, and you can go look at that. And due to various things happening, we are, again, not going to be doing a piece on black holes. It's kind of already recorded, but it's not going to fit. So that's life. We hope that we can cram it into the next radio program. Assuming we have a next radio program, who the hell knows anymore? The WBAI local station board is going to meet on December 7th, 2022, but that's going to be an executive session, so you won't be able to hear it. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be on Wednesday, December 14th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 640,977,014 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,629,525. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 98,559,921, and the death toll in America was officially 1,079,182. So 2,347 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program, which is essentially the same as the previous weekly death toll. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. And it's been a month since I got my bivalent vaccination, so I should have maximum immunity by now against the BA5 variant that's been dominant for the past couple of months. And I should be in really good shape to resist those new variants which are popping up all over the place. Pickles of the North got her bivalent shot quite a while ago, so we're both in good shape with that. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course, and this was all mostly preventable. And on the previous program, we reported a bit about the Artemis 1 project launch of the Orion spacecraft, and here with more on that, largely because she was able to stay up for the follow-up and I wasn't, is Pickles of the North.
Well, it's been very exciting, our ball, and perhaps you'll be awake for the next part of the mission. Who knows? But it's been very, very successful. It's been going really well. The Orion spacecraft went into its close lunar orbit, 80 miles above the moon, and went to the far side of the moon. Couldn't take any pictures because there was not enough light there for them to record stuff, but still very exciting. And the latest adventure in Orion happened on November 25th. The Orion spacecraft reached its farthest point beyond the moon, over 57,000 miles. Oh, boy. Its burners were fired to place it into distant retrograde orbit. That's 40,000 miles above the moon's surface. It will take 1 week to complete half an orbit around the moon. And the reason they do this is they're going to be testing all the systems while it's out there. And they want to find out what happens when humans are in deep space. As far as we go, that's deep space. And we need to know how we're going to react to things out there. Now, for the farthest distance traveled by a craft designed to carry human beings, that record was held by the Apollo 13 mission. Of course, that was the mission that was in complete and total crisis, had to forego landing on the moon. We were all concerned that the craft might not get back to Earth. And so they had to have a great big orbit past the moon in order to use the moon's gravity to slingshot back to the Earth. And they did it successfully. And so their craft went out 248,655 miles. Now, Orion will go 268,552. So it's pretty exciting. Hopefully, when it is manned, all will go well. And one aspect that I really like, which is not completely silly, but pretty silly, is that the fact that they have a little Snoopy doll on board, as well with a Shaun the Sheep from Wallace and Gromit on board. And they both are very cute. They both have their little astronaut suits on. Snoopy's is orange, and Shaun's is blue from European Space Agency. And they actually are taking part in tests, so...
Yeah, well, since they're free to bounce around in there, they get to watch those things and see how they react to changes in thrust and all of that kind of thing. And so, yeah, they're actually able to observe those things and see what's going on.
Yes, and of course, ESA is a partner with NASA for the mission, so that's why Shaun is up there.
And... Well, a part of this also is just to see what happens, because, you know, we see the Starship Enterprise going places. We see all sorts of science fiction things. And basically, the way a lot of science fiction makes it look, it's as if you get in a car and you drive a few blocks away. It seems to be just about that convenient. Or maybe at most you drive to another city. Or maybe you get in a ship and you go someplace else on the water. Well, there's a whole hell of a lot more happening when you're going out into space. And you have things like low Earth orbit, called LEO. And that's where, for instance, the... space station, the International Space Station is, and yeah, that they get extra radiation in there, but it's pretty close to the Earth. Then you've got various higher levels. There's a level where you have geosynchronous satellites, and those are the satellites, a lot of the cable stuff goes through them, and telecommunications around the world go through them, and they are set out at a certain distance from the Earth, and they stay over a spot on the Earth at all times because their orbit takes 24 hours, which is what it takes for the Earth to rotate. And so, yeah, they get to be over a spot all the time. Then you go out farther and farther. Then, you have the moon itself, which is... definitely out there at, what is that, 239,000 miles away on average. And then past that, you're in really deep space. Because past the moon, well, we've sent a whole lot of probes and things. We've not sent people very far past the moon. And what happens out there is going to be one of the things they'll be testing with the whole Artemis project. The Artemis project is intended to set people up on the moon so they can start doing more testing. And we only know what happens to people when they've been on the moon for a few days. And now they want to see what happens to people when they stay on the moon for significantly longer amounts of time. Also, there's the issue of deep space radiation. And space is full of radiation. There's a lot of stuff going on. When you have a supernova exploding tens of thousands of light years away, or in most cases, millions of light years away, it still spews out radiation. And you have the cosmic rays flying in. And those cosmic rays, yeah, you don't get a ton of them all at once, but they're very powerful. They're very penetrating. And so they need to figure a lot of this out. So just being on the moon alone will tell them certain things, because the moon is, you know, out there getting bombarded. It doesn't have an atmosphere. It doesn't have a magnetic field as the Earth does to fend off a lot of this stuff. And so they're going to learn from that, but they're also going to be going past the moon out into deeper space, because some people have theorized that there's really no way for humans to go out there because the radiation will be too high and they'll get killed. Plus, we have the variable of the sun. The sun now and again sends off a solar flare, and when it does that, you can get a lot more radiation. If there is a particular type of thing called a coronal mass ejection, where literally billions of tons of matter from the sun is blown out into space, oh boy, those things have so much radiation. Besides the immediate radiation that travels at the speed of light and gets to you right away, you also have this, what, as I said, billions of tons of stuff. Those are also particles, and they're traveling at less than the speed of light, but they're certainly traveling at relativistic speeds. And if a human being is in a spaceship, how do you protect them from getting cooked?
Well, this is one of the things they want to try and find out, although I don't think they're hoping that a coronal mass ejection will happen while they're there. They have three Moonikin mannequins. One is fully dressed in a spacesuit because they're testing the suit. The other two are, you can see their legs, they're just basically little torso shapes. One is female, one is male. And they're hooked up to a whole bunch of sensors. And one of the big things is they want to see what effect radiation has. Because, of course, going to the moon is the first goal. Going back to the moon is the first goal. Then to possibly some asteroids and ultimately to Mars, which is going to be the biggest dose of radiation and longest dose of radiation anyone traveling in space will get.
They're going to be out there for months and months and maybe a year or more. And, yeah, they're going to be around for a solar flare or two. So, yeah. Plus, of course, we never know what's going to happen outside the solar system. Some of these events that happen elsewhere are so powerful that they actually do affect things in the solar system. In fact, there was one a few years ago where there was detected either a supernova had gone off or some other celestial event had happened that had released a great deal of radiation, and this event had happened in a galaxy 7 billion light years away. That's pretty far. It was powerful enough that it ruffled the Earth's atmosphere. Now, it didn't cause any damage or anything, but the idea that the force of the blast was enough to ruffle the atmosphere of the Earth tells you that these things are beyond human imagining and how powerful they are. And so even the solar flares, the immediate radiation out of them that comes at the speed of light, you can't tell that's about to hit you because it's traveling at the speed of light. And you would be detecting the solar flare using light. Oh, there's a solar flare. Zzz. And yeah, so this is very difficult stuff. One of the things that has been getting talked about by scientists for years is how do you make a spaceship that human beings can survive in? You can do things like line it with a great deal of lead. And that's going to be difficult because you got to try and launch this thing and get it to go somewhere. The more it weighs, the harder it is to get it moving. There's also the idea of making very powerful magnetic fields for the spaceship, but that takes an enormous amount of energy. And as you get farther from the sun, solar panels just aren't going to make it anymore. That's why a lot of the spacecraft that have been sent out very far to Jupiter or beyond have had to have reactors. And there are, you know, various types of nuclear reactors. And I know some people at BAI have said, oh, no, nuclear reactors, because they react to the word and not to the reality. And anyway, so those things need to have that kind of a power source. So if you're going to send up a ship that has humans in it and you're going to use the magnetic field, you've also got to send up a rather serious nuclear reactor, which means you've also got to shield the inhabitants of the ship from the nuclear reactor's radiation. So there are a lot of things that are being studied about this, and some people have said it's really impractical for human beings to ever really go much beyond the moon even in outer space.
Well, it seems practical for them to go back to the moon, and the Orion spacecraft has four wings, one might call them, that are full of solar panels, and it's been using its fuel very efficiently. The panels have been working really well. So, and there is a plan to build a Gateway, which will be a space station that circles the moon. And plans to build stuff on the moon, assemble things on the moon, and then go from there. So it ought to be an interesting time.
Yes, it will be. And of course, even at the range of Mars, you can still use solar panels.
Yes.
Past that, it gets dicey. And at the range of Jupiter, it's not enough solar radiation to make a solar panel produce electricity.
Well, right now they're concentrating on the human missions, which I think is a really good idea. And a lot of good technology will come out of this, as a lot of good technology came out of the Apollo missions. There seem to be two big events that causes leaps forward in technology. One of them is war. The other one is space travel. So I'm behind space travel.
Oh, well. And speaking of the spur to technological advances that isn't space travel, Russia's war against the Ukrainian people continues. Russia's been bombarding the power plants all over Ukraine, blowing them up and plunging everybody into darkness. And, of course, they've kept up their initial attacks on residential neighborhoods in Ukraine. So half of Ukraine was dark the other night because they've blown up the power plants there. And, of course, we're all going into winter in the Northern Hemisphere. And over there in Ukraine, winter gets pretty serious. And so people are looking at, you know, having to go into winter with not enough power, not enough electricity to keep things warm, and in some cases without houses anymore. No place to live. God, what cruelty this is. Jesus. And I know some people are saying, oh, stop NATO. And, you know, the hell with that. I mean, it's good that we have NATO because Russia would do this to us if they had the chance. They've done it before. They're doing it now. And Jesus Christ, I wish there were a way that Ukraine could really strike back at Russia. if Ukraine could, like, blow up a few of the Russian cities' residential neighborhoods and their power plants, I think you would see maybe Vladimir Putin having to either back off or leave entirely. Yeah, you know, with a bully, you don't just resist the bully because the bully expects that. And a lot of the time, the bully gets off on that. The way you stop a bully is you hurt him. And, yeah, Putin's been hurt a little bit because, oh, we're just going to walk in there and take it over. And that ain't working out. But more needs to be done. And now, of course, Ukraine isn't the greatest thing in the world. They got corruption. They've got homophobia and all of that stuff. But really, having in the early 21st century, having the invasion of another country as if it's World War II or earlier, holy hell, what a throwback Putin is. Speaking of Russia, the other day, the Russian Duma, the lower house of their legislature, passed a bill that bans the promotion of what they call, quote, non-traditional sexual relations, unquote, among adults. Hey, what about Catherine the Great? Aren't they? Oh, we'll get into that. Basically, this law bans, quote, LGBTQ propaganda, unquote, in traditional media, on the internet, or on merchandise sold to the public. Good grief. In 2013, they outlawed public discussions or positive messages about LGBTQ issues with minors. The group Human Rights Watch described that years ago as a, quote, classic example of political homophobia, unquote, which, quote, targets vulnerable sexual and gender minorities for political gain, unquote. And that's certainly what they're doing. Russian citizens who communicate anything other than hatred regarding LGBT plus infinity people would face fines of up to $3,300 for individuals and up to $82,700 for legal entities. Non-citizens would be sent to jail for 15 days before being deported. I'm seeing reports that there are 450 members of the Duma, and that 400 of them were sponsors of this bill. I've read that last month, the Russian state news agency Interfax reported that Russia had fined TikTok around $51,000 for what Putin's Russia sees as a violation of the 2013 gay propaganda law. Apparently, there were accusations that TikTok, which is owned by the so-called People's Republic of China, featured videos, quote, featuring LGBT issues, feminism, and distorted representation of traditional sexual values, unquote. You know, one to stick up their ass. So-called People's Republic of China is getting too liberal for you. That means you're really in a deep hole of hell. God, you know, TikTok is, of course, they allow a lot of people up there, and you know, all sorts of things will happen. But the Chinese Communist Party isn't cracking down on it, and I guess the deal is that the Russians are so insecure that they can't deal with those things going up there. God damn. You know, and apparently also they have no concept of history because there's a lot of history that has gay stuff in it. And going forward, they're going to have to just not have certain things. There are lesbian, gay, transsexual, and all sorts of performers who do music and other things, and there are actors. Of course, we know that there are what we could call gay-related themes in various movies and things and TV shows. I guess it's all banned. I think some of it has been banned already. But going forward, there's going to be more of this, which just happens to be in there. And I guess they're going to cut things out, and people in Russia are going to say, wait a minute, what just happened?
Well, I guess they'll be just like the government in China then, because certainly they have their own version of TikTok, and it doesn't have any of the stuff that's in the American version.
Yeah.
They don't allow their people to see that stuff.
Well, I'm thinking that some version is getting into Russia because they were able to find them. They fined them $51,000, so maybe there's a Russian version also of TikTok, or maybe it's just the general TikTok. I think the rest of the world mostly just gets the version out of the so-called People's Republic of China. Of course, people put stuff up there, and Vox Populi is not something that Russian dictators like. So this is something that's going on, and it's bizarre that they have these hatreds that they got to use all the time. Man, oh man. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. The Respect for Marriage Act has passed the House and is in the Senate. It would repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, which was signed into law in the wee hours of the morning in secret by Bill Clinton in 1996. And that law banned the federal government from recognizing same-gender marriages, and the new law would also require every state to recognize marriages performed in other states. It's past the hurdle of having enough senators in favor of it so that they don't have to worry about a filibuster stopping it. The new law would also protect interracial marriages. I think this is probably a little shot at Clarence Thomas here, who's started talking about targeting the Obergefell decision, which is what allowed same-gender marriages to go forward in America. And so the bill is expected to be passed with an amendment that allows an out for superstition-based nonprofits. So it should be passed this coming week. Then it has to go back to the House because they have amended it in the Senate, and it gets voted on there. And then it goes to the president. And if they can get it through the House, which they should be able to do, before January 1st, it will pass. And, of course, Biden will sign that thing. And that will be a very good thing. And we'll see what happens from that. It's possible the Supreme Court may decide to say, oh, no, that's unconstitutional, too. And that'll be a crisis. And we'll just see what goes on from there. And, of course, this past week, Club Q in Colorado Springs, Colorado, was attacked by a guy named Anderson Lee Aldrich, who was 22 years old. He showed up at the door of the nightclub shooting last Saturday night. He killed 5 people and wounded at least 25 more. He started shooting with an AR-15 type rifle, and luckily, there was a guy there named Richard M. Fierro. He's a veteran. Mr. Fierro said he was at a table in Club Q with his wife, daughter, and friends on Saturday, watching a drag show. Apparently, they had a friend who was doing stuff in the drag show. When the shooting started, Mr. Fierro charged toward the shooter and knocked him down. Apparently, the shooter was pretty big. I've seen it being said he was 300 pounds. Fierro said, quote, "I don't know exactly what I did. I just went into combat mode. I just know that I have to kill this guy before he kills us," unquote. Yep, that's sort of the way it does work. He didn't kill Aldrich, but he disarmed him and beat the crap out of him. Aldrich then pulled a pistol on Fierro after he got the rifle away from him. And Fierro was going to grab the rifle, but the guy then pulls a pistol on him. And so they commenced to fighting over that gun. Piero got that gun away from this slob and starts beating him up with it. Oh, man. And meanwhile, Piero told one of the drag queens, who also had come over to attack the shooter, to kick him in the head. And the drag queen did that with her big heels. Piero's wife and daughter are still recovering from their injuries. They both got shot. The attack occurred on the eve of the Transgender Day of Remembrance, and it's not known if this guy knew that was coming up or if this was just the day he decided to go do this particular thing. Aldrich had been arrested last year after threatening his mother with a homemade bomb. God. He was charged with felony kidnapping and menacing at that time, but his mother refused to press charges, and all the charges were dropped. So, he was not banned from owning rifles by the state's red flag law, and he was able to have those weapons that he showed up at the club with. Besides the guns, Aldrich also had on body armor. In fact, Mr. Piero grabbed Aldrich by a handle on the back of the armor and pulled him down to stop the further murders. Aldrich is being charged with 5 counts of murder and 5 counts related to committing a hate crime. Aldrich's father, who's a porn actor, said that his reaction was initially concerned that his son might be gay. Oh, no. Then he said he was relieved that he'd only shot people at the gay bar. And he said, oh, I thought my son might have been gay. Then I found out he wasn't. Phew. So, boy, so the father is quite a piece of work himself. The father is obviously homophobic. The mother is enabling Sonny to do this by, you know, you have a family member who threatens to bomb you and is walking back and forth in his body armor and threatening you with weapons. You don't just say, oh, you know, that's as if he was writing on the walls with crayon. Naughty, naughty, don't do it again, and that's it. But because they did that, he got to go get his weapons and go out and murder people. Now, on November 19th, 1980, exactly 42 years before the attack on Club Q, a sky pilot and former New York City transit cop named Ronald Crumpley attacked Sneakers Bar and the Ramrod Bar on West Street in Manhattan with an Uzi submachine gun, which nobody's allowed to have, but he had one. And this Crumpley character shot at people from the outside of the bars. There were people lined up to get into the Ramrod, and there were people in Sneakers Bar, and he shot into Sneakers Bar. And before he got there, mere minutes earlier, he'd shot 2 gay men in front of a deli a few blocks away in the village. Crumpley ended up killing 2 people and wounding several others that night. After Crumpley was caught that night, and by the way, the FBI happened to be outside Sneakers Bar. They were parked on West Street, and they were using a special type of snooping device. Apparently, they could shine a laser on the window, and by the reflection of the laser, they could get the sound from inside the bar. Oh, man, you know, surveillance state is not new, kiddies. And all of a sudden, a guy shows up. He was in a car, Crumpley. And he just, you know, it's unmistakable when a guy opens up with a submachine gun. You know what's going on. And then he was shooting at the people standing in line for the Ramrod. Got a couple of them. And people hit the floor of the bars after they were both shot at. And then Crumpley takes off like a bat out of hell. The FBI starts chasing him, and the New York Police Department also hears about this because, again, he'd shot 2 other guys with the Uzi just blocks away. It makes a lot of noise, and people said, hello, there's a guy with a machine gun out here shooting people. And so the 6th Precinct already knew there was some wild stuff going on. So there was this train of FBI and NYPD cars chasing after Crumpley, and he was caught. And he was caught pretty fast. I think at 14th Street is where they caught him. He told police, quote, "I'll kill them all, the gays. They ruin everything," unquote. Pretty definite in there what he's about. The next year, in 1981, a jury found Ronald Crumpley, quote, "not responsible by reason of mental disease or defect," unquote, for the murders and the attempted murders. He was confined to a secure psychiatric hospital, and he died in April 2015 at the age of 73. This particular thing, of course, we were in New York. I was with my male ex in those days. We were almost there. I think this happened around 10-ish at night, something like that. And my male ex and I were part of a group we called the Gay Media Alliance. And we put out a calendar of events for lesbians and gay people, and we did various other things. And we, with some other people, sponsored little town hall meetings, as we called them. And that night, we had one in the Lower East Side in some place. I don't know really what it was. All I know is, wow, it had a lot of bricks in it. They were painted bricks. And this was like a very interesting place, I suppose. No windows or anything. It was in a basement with bricks. Anyway, so we had one of our things, and we had people in there, and they would talk. We were there that night because a guy who ran, who was partnering with us, who was the head of a Lower East Side neighborhood group, a gay neighborhood group, had said, "Hey, bring this over to the Lower East Side." And we did that on that night in November. What we had been doing up to then was we had been having it in Greenwich House, which is right off Sheridan Square in Greenwich Village. And typically after that, we would all walk down Christopher Street when the town hall was over, and we'd hang out down at West Street. And some people would go into the bars and all, and we'd hang out. Sometimes we'd cross the street and go over by what was there wasn't what you have there now. And we would, you know, wander around a bit. And so if we had had our event as usual, we would have gotten out in time to be walking around, certainly in the village, and very possibly right on West Street where the gunfire was going off. So we could have ended up shot at that particular time. I mean, there was a bunch of, you know, gay men not marching or anything, just walking down there, but we were all together, and some people would be holding hands because we just came out of a gay town hall thing. And so we could have ended up part of this particular story right there. So, oh boy, we were impressed with that particular idea. And also, we had a march over this. We had two marches over this. People started calling us up, Gay Media Alliance, and they said, "We need to have like a candlelight march, and we need to go and do stuff there." And they said, you know how to run these things. And so they prevailed upon us, and we said, "Yeah, okay, we'll do that." And so we started this stuff. We called people up, and as it turned out, a particular lesbian and gay group that used to claim that they spoke for the community. You may know this kind of person who says, "Yeah, we're in charge of everything. You can't do anything without us. We're in charge here." They wanted to be the dictators of all gay and lesbianness. And they had also started to do it, but we did ours after we started getting publicity for ours and calling people up and saying, "Get people out." They started doing it too. We had a march set for 7 o'clock. Meet us in Sheridan Square at 7 o'clock. We're going to march down Christopher Street to Sneakers Bar, and we'll have a thing there. And we did that. And the other guys ended up having theirs, I think, at 8 o'clock. I went to both of them, you know. And so we had – there was sort of a difference between – they were all very – and, you know, their excrement didn't stink was the kind of way they behaved. Ours was a much more grassroots kind of event. And so we had that, and people were glad we'd had something. Most people didn't know there were two different groups. A lot of them were wondering, why are there two marches? But it's involved in the gay history of New York at that particular time. And so, yeah, we had a march, two marches regarding this. And as I say, Crumpley ended up going to the Nut House on a permanent basis. And in 2022, fast forward, you know, people were saying the homophobia of the Reagan administration and the Republican Party then sort of fueled this kind of anti-gay attack. In 2022, state lawmakers have introduced 344 anti-LGBT plus infinity bills and passed 25 of them into law, according to the Human Rights Campaign. So, yeah, you have these people passing these laws and making these statements. Some of the right-wing Congress critters who say, yeah, January 6th was a great, wonderful, patriotic thing, or alternatively, oh, it was just tourists coming into the Capitol. These people say very bad things about gay people. They invent these new terms to attack us. And instead of the old bad language, they have come up with stuff like groomers, saying all gay people are child molesters. And so you have them stoking anti-gay bigotry. Not that it doesn't already exist, but they get people really enabled with it. And, yeah, so you get people like this Aldrich creep showing up and murdering people. Oh, boy, you know, 42 years later, we've still got this kind of stuff going on, except it is also going on more with everybody, because since Club Q, we've had a Walmart shooting that was just, we'll shoot anybody at Walmart, and other things going on like that. And Jesus Christ, things are in many ways getting worse. Oh, my godlessness. It must be time to pitch. Everybody get off the tracks. The pitching train is coming down. Get that bicycle off the tracks. Ah, okay, well, we may have to pay the guy we just ran over on the bicycle, so we got to ask you to help us out here. This is WBAI New York, listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio, and what we do is we are really non-commercial and listener-sponsored. So how that works is we don't have people selling Chevys or cigarettes or anything else like that on the air. We ask you to support us. We got to pay bills. Oh, do we ever have to pay bills? And what we do is we ask you to send us some money. And how do you do that? There are two ways, and they both involve a call to 1-212-209-2950. When they pick up at the call center, you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. A BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership, which means on a monthly basis, you send a certain amount of money to WBAI. The way it works is you call up 1-212-209-2950, say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and they will then ask you some questions, and you'll give them either your credit card number or your debit card number, and you will then tell them how much you would like to donate every month to WBAI. It can be $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, and it could be more, but I think most people listening to this radio program are not going to be able to afford more. If you can, that'd be great. So you tell them how much you want to donate every month, and you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or your debit card charged. and they will do that. That way, your card is charged on a time when it's convenient. There are times when, you know, it's not so convenient to have your card charged. It could be something else is going to happen, or you know that there tends to be a low point during the month when you don't have much money in the account. So this is a way to avoid running into a problem. 1-212-209-2950. And if you become a BAI buddy, you get a WBAI tote bag. You'll be the envy of every strange person on the street when they see you walking around with a BAI tote bag. Yeah, and if the FBI is driving by, they'll give you a dirty look. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. Well, give us a call. Call the call center. We don't pick up. We're pre-recorded. Even when people are pitching live, we don't pick up at the station. And, well, we won't get into that. It's actually a legal thing of you can't have people off the street getting people's credit card numbers, which is what we used to do, but then it got pointed out, you know, that's illegal, so we don't do that. We have a call center where professionals will take your information. 1-212-209-2950, and tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. It's important to mention Back of the Book because we need to get credit for having some listeners. Yes, in the past, Tony has pledged, and George and Bonnie from Northport have made a donation. Also, Michael from Valhalla and Dorothy from Little Neck have made donations in the recent past. They have all given one-time donations. You can do that too. When you call 1-212-209-2950, you can say, I want to make a one-time donation in the name of Back of the Book, and you can do that. And if you give a donation of $25 or more, you can become a member of WBAI, which means that when we have elections next, you will be able to vote in those elections or referendums or whatever the hell else we're going to do. And you'll have a say in these things. 1-212-209-2950. This is also an important way for you to say, hey, Back of the Book has listeners, because management is of the opinion we don't have any listeners. I know you're there. Management thinks you're not. Please tell management you're there by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying you want to either become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or you want to make a one-time donation in the name of Back of the Book. Also, management keeps moving a lot of things around. One of the things that's been brought up is the idea of totally eliminating the overnight radio programs. Overnight means midnight to 6 a.m. That's 6 hours a day, 7 days a week. And these time slots are where you get a lot of variety, a lot of different things going on in the overnights. And you get things happening in the overnights that you really can't have happening in the daytime, because all those daytime people get scared. The scary stuff really can happen in the overnights. But if management just eliminates the overnights, one of the things that's been suggested is that the overnights be removed and that the station rent out the midnight to 6 a.m. time to somebody or another, and they would get the midnight to 6 a.m. 7 days a week on BAI, and you wouldn't hear any of these strange different programs that go on overnight. So by calling 1-212-209-2950 and either becoming a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book or making a one-time donation, you're not only helping Back of the Book to show management we have listeners, you're also helping all of the overnight radio programs to show that, yes, there are listeners to these programs, and they are willing to support the station with money. And we need money. We're behind on bills. 1-212-209-2950. You know, we talk about various things here. We talk about scientific stuff. We bring you a lot of science stuff, plus mixing a thing or two here and there in with it to give it some other oomph. On this program, we covered a number of LGBT plus infinity issues. We covered that this time. You also get to hear from somebody who's been at certain of these kinds of things. I was a militant gay activist as of March 26th, 1970, when I joined the Gay Activists Alliance. And I talk about all of that, talk about being bisexual sometimes. Yeah, we talk about things that you don't get to hear elsewhere, even on BAI. 1-212-209-2950. Please, please, give us a call at that number. Give us a call at that number now. We'll really appreciate it. We need to hear from you. Ah, there's Mr. Outro Music. Well, we hope we're going to be back here next week. Coming up next is
a special. That's all we know.
Yeah, they changed it at the last minute. And next week, following us, will be Ecologic. We hope we're coming back next week. Try to buck up, even though there's a lot of bad news. And above all, remember what that still belching up all that turkey dormouse
David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
I believe that we have got to mobilize a larger movement to reclaim the democracy.
Radio broadcaster Bob Law.
Some of y'all have underestimated the value and the appeal of white supremacy. And you have no idea how strong white privilege and white supremacy is.
Tune in to From the Streets with Bob Law, which gives voice to a wide range of black and progressive political and cultural perspectives. That's 11 to noon Saturdays here over listener-sponsored WBAI New York.
Lopate, host of Leonard Lopate at Large, weekdays at 1 p.m. I want to encourage my listeners to become Lopate at Large WBAI buddies. You can become a buddy, a sustaining BAI member, for as little as $10 a month. Please go to give2wbai.org or call 516-620-3602. And thank you.
Dear listener, keep WBAI going. Talk about our work. Tell a neighbor, tweet a link, or download a flyer at wbai.org/marketing-advertising. That's wbai.org/marketing-advertising. To help grow WBAI's listenership and income, come to meetings of the LSB Outreach and Fundraising Task Force on Monday, November 28th at 7 p.m. By phone, use any Zoom number like 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. Our meeting number is 922-457-2995 or WBAI-LSB-995. That's 922-457-2995. The passcode is like our frequency, 995-995-99. That's 995-995-99. Again, That's Monday, November 28th, for meetings of the WBAI LSB Outreach and Fundraising Task Force. More information in the meeting section of WBAI.org.
We're in a unique moment here. It's a moment where we have a chance to actually demonstrate our power.
Imhotep Gary Bird, heard on WBAI Friday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m.
I learned from Dr. Walter Fauntroy, who fought with Dr. King in the Civil Rights Movement, that there were five areas that they identified that they felt politics could control and hit. It was health, housing, education, economics,